Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 238. I'm Graham, and this week I'm here with Henry, Jeff, Sean, and Andrew. Guys, how's it going?
Not bad.
Yeah?
My soccer team lost again today.
Well, that's...
Not unusual.
Okay.
Stop losing.
It's so hard when you've done it 60-something times in a row, though. It's like a habit.
You're addicted. Need to go to support group meetings for losing.
An optimist would say that you're due. You're due for a win, and that win's going to feel really good.
an optimist might say that.
But, not us. I'm just saying anyone out there who's optimistic that doesn't know you might give you some encouragement, but not us.
The support group will help, because as it turns out, you just practice soccer.
That's a good plan.
Eventually, you'll be better. It's a 12-step program.
I would say as a kid, you know, when you're a kid, you can always say you're going to get better, and at the very least, you'll like learn something. But I figure once we get to our age, I think you'll just keep getting worse. There's no way you can improve. We're getting older. Your body's breaking down.
We're not training
for the Olympics here. We're just getting perpetually worse. But if you make an effort, you can just enjoy it as much.
So everyone out there, just getting worse at it. Just stop it, right?
Can't win, don't try.
You're getting worse at everything, and then you're going to die. So,
man.
Video
games. Thank God we have games, because we can get better at games, can't we?
No, we can't.
If we have a snack bar team, Dota, or something like that, I'm going to drag you guys down hard. I am not very good at that game.
I am worse at that game, I promise.
Good. I've only played it once, so...
You're the best. You're better than us.
I've never played. Yeah. Okay. So Jeff is our leader. He's played once.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. We're formidable. I think we can do it.
I'll be the ringer. Wait. Is the ringer supposed to make you better?
No. I think in this case you're just a guy who stands around wearing a ringer tee.
Okay. I can do that.
You're the ringer.
It'll make them think we're better than we are.
Yep.
It'll make them think something.
Until they play us.
Why is that guy just standing there behind you? He's a ringer.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
All right. Hey, news.
News. I'm not a very good ringer.
That's not news.
Oh, well, okay. Well, first, Sony has decided to release a new model of the PS3. It's the PS3 Slim Slim.
Yep.
PS3 Slimmer.
PS3 Slim Shady.
Yes.
It will come with Uncharted 3.
Yep.
And a free month of PlayStation Plus.
Yep.
And a 250 gig hard drive.
Right.
And it's a little bit more expensive.
It also includes a lot of credit for Dust 514.
Oh, yeah.
In case you really wanted to play that. But somehow don't own a PS3 yet.
There you go.
It's never a bad plan to wait. Patience is a virtue. If you don't have one, you don't have a PS3 yet, this is probably the best time to get one, because that's not actually a bad deal with all the stuff included.
Well, and obviously the price is not going to go down.
Well,
it will. Next year, probably.
Well, that's a bit misleading. The price of the existing PS3s isn't going to go down.
Right. And you know, this is a bundle with stuff in it, and once they get rid of the bundle with stuff in it, then they're going to have a back to the press. Yeah. But I would say now is a really good time to get a PS3, but I say get a Slim as people like bundle stuff with it to get it out the door.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially in the next couple months. There's going to be lots of bundles with free stuff with them.
I like free stuff.
Who doesn't?
I don't know.
You already have one, don't buy another one.
The thing is, with the PSN account, I could put both of my games in two systems, and I could make online multiplayer games into local multiplayer games, which is infinitely better.
Whoa.
That is true.
I have picture in picture on my TV, so I could just make them split screen. That seems pretty good.
I like the top loading thing, but at the same time, I think I hate it. just watching someone open that is kind of cool, but then yeah. I get the feeling it would just annoy me, and also I don't think I would have enough room for that system, having it the way it is. I would need to probably put it on its side, which would just be dumb. So I'm saying I'm not going to get one of these, is what I'm saying.
It has a stand, though.
Yes, it has a stand. This is part two of this news story.
Does it have a new hat?
What?
Sorry, I'm bad at Simpsons jokes.
Okay.
Well, along with your new PS3, if you want, you can also re-get Mass Effect for the PS3 and the trilogy.
Mass Effect.
You can pick up all three of them for $60.
Yeah, those are good games.
That's a good bundle. And I think it was just confirmed. Either just confirmed or it was confirmed recently. And I just found out about it. That you can get, when it actually comes out on PSN, you can get just download the original Mass Effect for $15. So PS3 owners can finally play that game. And
yes.
Actually carry over a character, not just from a comic thingy.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So, also,
it's just a shame
the trilogy
coming to the Wii U.
Yet, we can talk about that. Sean is convinced, I say, that is the only logical platform to put the trilogy out on.
I think the PS3 and the Wii U are the only logical systems to put it on.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they're going to make more money off the other ones, obviously, because they're going to be people who are like, you know what, I wanted to play the Mass Effect 3 game, but I kind of don't want to jump into the third game of a trilogy. And hey, now I can just buy this trilogy pack for the same price. And
yeah,
that's cool. But
they
I think people should do that.
They should do it.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
But I like, well, it makes sense for the Wii U because, you know, there hasn't been a Mass Effect game on the Nintendo system, and Mass Effect 3 is coming out for the Wii U, and that, you know, kind of made no sense when it was announced, but it was like, okay, whatever, it's a new game, I get it. But now it makes even less sense because there's this trilogy coming out, and it's like, who is going to buy a Wii U and pay $60 for Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U? I don't know. Anymore.
I agree with you, Andrew. It might also be a statement, you know, even though they know sales for Arkham City, the Arkham City Armored Edition and the Mass Effect 3, Nintendo may know or at least predict that sales won't be that great, but maybe it's more of a sign saying, see, this system, we're going to have really good third-party support. So maybe it's more of a statement rather than, you know, an attempt to actually sell a ton of copies.
They'll sell.
As in Mass Effect
3
will
copies.
Be their token saying, see, it doesn't work. We're not going to put any more games on it.
I can see them doing that, and I hate when companies do that. See, you know, they'll say they'll put the product in a position to fail, and then they'll say, aha, see, that's not what consumers want, when it could not be further from the truth. Let's hope that's not the case.
Let's be fair. That is not exclusive to the game industry.
No.
God, no.
You know?
I always hate it when anyone does that.
Well, I mean,
For
example, TV shows, they're like, oh, well, we'll just put you on Fridays. Like, nobody watched you. Well, it's because ratings are lower on Fridays.
It's Friday nights. Yeah, Firefly.
And then, you know, movies, just put them up on a weekend against something big. It's like, well, look, you didn't make as much money as the Expendables, so we're not going to get another Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's hope
the Firefly one is particularly a good example because they also released it out of order. And Mass Effect 3 before Mass Effect 1 or 2 on the Wii U would also be out of order.
I feel like you're
right, because Firefly, they didn't even release half the episodes. They were
they aired in a completely different order than they were supposed to be.
That's just ridiculous. Well, I mean, it might be better because, I mean, they are getting Assassin's Creed 3. Am I right for Wii U?
They are.
Okay, so there's a game that will be launched at the same time as the other ones, and you don't need to sort of play 1 and 2 to sort of get the full experience.
Right.
So that might be a good indicator of how the hardcore games might sell on the Wii U rather than Mass Effect 3 and Arkham City.
That and Black Ops, I think, will be the two big ones for the Wii U.
Good point. Yeah.
since no one's been able to say anything about Nintendo's online strategy, I feel like this is not going to be an incredibly popular version of Black Ops.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, for sure. But I mean, I think if, again, there's this thing that people have been saying, I think just recently, you know, Reggie's kind of been saying this a lot. Of course he would say this, but he's like, there are a ton of people out there who just own the Wii but wanted those games on the PS3 and 360 and never bought it, and they're just Nintendo. They are loyal to Nintendo, and they want to stay loyal to Nintendo, so they will get the Wii U, and they will have, you know, a good version of Black Ops, supposedly, a good version of Assassin's Creed, they'll have Mass Effect, they'll have Batman, you know, they'll pretty much have all the big ones.
I mean, we know those people exist. One of them is on our staff.
Yes. but it's just... I think Black Ops will do well, because it's a Call of Duty game, and I think that game sells.
Oh, sure. It's sold well in the Wii, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll do fine. It's just weird, because with Mass Effect, I think that it's not even coming out at launch anymore, so it's... I get the feeling, if EA is smart, that's questionable, but if EA is smart, they're delaying the Mass Effect 3 for the Wii U to release the trilogy for the Wii U.
Yeah, I have a feeling that whatever agreement it was that expired that allowed Mass Effect 1 to be on a console that isn't an Xbox.
Or a PC, yeah.
I believe that happened after they first decided to put Mass Effect 3 on Wii U.
Yeah.
So they've sort of suddenly decided, oh, we can change our plans and do this instead.
Yeah.
I did notice that Mass Effect 3 is not on the launch list anymore.
Yeah.
So it's on the window, but it's not one of the launch titles like it was.
The launch window. I love that definition.
Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely open to interpretation. What did we say it should launch window? 3 months?
I mean,
2 months?
I'd say two months.
I feel like two months is the window. They feel like four and a half months is the window. and I get the feeling that third parties are more in that, like, 2 month thing. Like, when you look at, like, Ubisoft's lineup, when they're like, oh, these are launch window, like, two of them are launching in early December. Like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, yeah, that's launch window. Fine. It's like a couple weeks later. Yeah, that's fine. But Nintendo is going to push stuff, you know, as it does. Sony did that with the Vita. And, you know, I mean, it is the new normal. But, you know, I'll say this for Mass Effect 3. Yes, playing just Mass Effect 3 is not the ideal way to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
But taken out of the context of that trilogy, just the game by itself is much better than a lot of things you could play, even if you just
play.
Very
true.
So it's pretty good. If you haven't played the trilogy and that's all you got, it's still like a really good game. You should probably play it.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, we can move on to other news.
All right. Next, we have, speaking of re-releases and trilogies, we have Kingdom Hearts 1.5 Remix, which will package Kingdom Hearts 1, Chain of Memories, and 358 over 2 days on the PS3.
I think that's just the cutscenes for that game.
Yeah,
it's possible. They haven't said what yet, but I would think it would have to be the cutscenes based on the way the gameplay worked.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think many people care about that game anyway. So
I think people will just be like, okay, cutscenes is fine for that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it feels like what they're doing is they're setting up this collection followed by a second collection.
Yeah, it's important to note that these games are all happening between Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that they put out 2 Birth by Sleep and the cutscenes from Recoded.
Yeah, that sounds
Dream Drop and possibly Dream
I think,
Drop Distance.
I feel like Dream Drop Distance is both too new and not easily ported to the PS3.
Yeah,
but like whereas Birth by Sleep is like, yeah, they've been doing those PSP to PS3 things forever. Yeah,
but the next one might not happen for a year or more.
That's true.
They could just skip Recoded and then put the cutscenes from 3D there.
They don't need to redo those.
Oh no, well, no, I know. So but I'm saying if this collection is just announced now, and you know, knowing how Kingdom Hearts works, we probably won't see the second HD collection until just before Kingdom Hearts 3's release or sometime around then. So
that game's never going to release, ever.
Kingdom Hearts 3 never coming out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm not. I'm not. I'm. 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 I'm not. Again, I think you're probably right, but I also think you probably are wrong. I don't know.
I know I'm wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Did they even announce that bundle for North America?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to assume we'll get it, though, because I think Kingdom Hearts sells pretty well here.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, people want a new Kingdom Hearts. And people want Kingdom Hearts on a console again, and they haven't had that in a while. And even if it's the one game they played, you know, 10 years ago, it's still...
That's actually what they want out of 3, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So there you go. Nope. This will hold them over at least for another.
They could just put that on the box. They're Square Enix. They don't have to number things correctly. Just this is Kingdom Hearts 3. Bravo. Yeah.
I wonder.
You don't remember?
I wonder
like
why.
Days.
I wonder why we don't. Why we're not getting a Kingdom Hearts 3. Same with. I won't mention the other one, but everybody knows the third one that everybody wants. And there's just absolutely no news from the companies. If they just said, have they said anything? Have they been like, you know, we really want to make 3 great, and we're not sure how to do that yet, so we're going to hold off.
Yeah, the
they want to make sure it's better than Final Fantasy VII.
The director of the Kingdom Hearts series is making Versus 13, which also seems to not exist.
Yeah,
that was going to be that was going to be a quick side project.
It seems like it's up to us to figure that out. I wish they would just tell us that was the case.
They came
out, we know everybody likes. Did they?
Yeah.
I think they did say that.
Didn't you say that 3D? Didn't you also say 3D was the last like kind of side game, and then it's going to lead to Kingdom Hearts 3? I think Nomura said that. So, I mean, who knows if it's true?
Kingdom Hearts 3 on this set of consoles, or do you think the next gen?
I think next gen.
Yeah, I mean,
that might be a topic for the prediction column, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Whatever Graham guesses will be correct.
I think they could release it on PS3. I think that. So Graham is always right, is what you're saying.
Graham, if you could go ahead and predict that there will be a third Chrono game in the next couple of years, I will fly to your house and buy you.
It will be a free to play card game on Gree.
I hate you. I hate you. Do not retract prediction now, please.
I can't.
Too late. It's been said.
I mean, I will with you hope for a fourth one. But that's the third one.
interesting things for the next speculator.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think they can release Kingdom Hearts 3 on the PS3, even if it doesn't come out for a couple of years, and still do okay.
I think it's entirely possible that game comes out for the 3DS.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Hey, I mean, we could also get one for the Vita.
I look at Japanese sales numbers. No, there's not going to be one for the Vita, because I look at Japanese sales numbers.
Yeah.
For the PS3 or the 3DS.
I realized as I was saying that, it's not going to happen, but I couldn't stop myself. It was happening.
Yeah, the problem with the Vita in Japan is that it's not going to succeed until Sony stops licensing PSP games over there.
Well, I think the problem is they lost Monster Hunter, and so no one's going to buy it.
Well, Sony realizes the reason they're doing that with the PSP is because Sony realizes that the Vita isn't selling and the PSP still kind of is. So they're like, okay, we'll just continue to support this really cheap device that people continue to buy for some reason, and why not? We'll get more money out of it.
People continue to play Monster Hunter.
but it makes me sad because none of the games that they keep licensing are going to get localized at all.
No.
Well, super weird ones are.
I'm sure Axis and Xseed have.
Oh, Axis. I feel like Xseed's even moved on at this point, but.
Yeah, maybe.
Xseed's like the proponent of the Vita at this point.
They got Ragnarok and that other weird rhythm game coming.
Yep, and, you know, they've already been supporting it with some stuff.
Yep.
But, Axis, apparently.
Definitely.
Anyway. Kingdom Hearts.
All right. Now we've got a few minor and two pointless news here. let's start with pointless. NBA Live 13 was canceled.
See, I don't think this is pointless.
I don't think this is pointless. It's dumb. It's very dumb.
It is a big moment in the games industry. Because... Yeah.
EA is giving up on something?
Basically, yeah. I mean, EA took a year off. Like, they spent a whole lot of money back on Elite to do the new engine to try to compete with 2K, and they didn't release that game, even though they developed a full game.
They released it, I'm using quotes, but it was kind of like a very, very limited release, and then, you know, and then people uploaded YouTube videos and showed just how broken it was, and probably that game was canceled.
Well, that was from the demo.
Yeah, but there's also
They
canceled it after they sent some to retailer, I heard.
Yeah, and they recalled all of that. I still have that demo. That demo will forever live on my PS3.
You should revisit it in honor of this new story.
That demo was up for like 8 hours or something. But yeah. So then they went back, took a year off, and then developed a whole new game, and then didn't release that game.
Yeah.
They're two complete EA AAA sports titles that they did not release.
I don't know what they can do at this point, because at this point, you know, anyone who was looking forward to that game is probably like they probably lost all faith in EA creating another basketball game that's decent. Because at this point, if they cancel that game after 2 years in development, it's got to be pretty kind of bad, right? I mean, they've released some pretty bad sports games.
It was a year in development. Basically, they took a year off. I mean, literally, they took a year off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, still, it's like.
Yeah, because they hired a new team for this and like took it away from, you know, EA Camp, put it in Tiburon and all that.
EA has put their name on some bad sports games.
They released Arena Football.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I think
I reviewed both of those games.
Instant classics. Help me.
Not the worst things.
Basically, what I'm saying is, if that's okay, and this NBA game is not, I can't imagine.
NBA Live 13 couldn't possibly be worse than the MLB 2K games. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Sean, you've been reviewing those for a couple years. Like that, those are not particularly good. But I think the fact that they aren't. I mean, like, people would buy that game, and it would be not great, but it would be fine. You know. I don't think a lot of people know the difference, and they would buy NBA Live, and it'll get better next year, and they'll be fine. You know, it's one of those things where, like, FIFA lived on for a while. I mean, basically, the entire, like, first half of the 2000s, FIFA was a not very good series.
Yeah.
No.
It was pretty much winning 11, which...
Right. Slash Pro Evo.
Pro Evo is usually the one that's broken now, and FIFA's the great one.
Yeah, though I've heard that Pro Evo still kind of rocks it with its Wii version, but
that's good.
See what happens there. Because FIFA phoned it in. I just side note. Did you guys see the stories on the new FIFA?
No.
Something bad happened.
They took FIFA 12, changed the
I heard about this just for the
new cover athlete, and then updated like two or three of the kits as people changed their uniforms and stuff. And that's literally all they did to that game.
That's the exact same game. And they released it. It's just on the Wii, though, right?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey and then Wayne Gretzky's Nagano Olympics or something like that with the N64. It was the exact same game. They just changed a few of the skins.
Yep.
That's pretty bad. Like,
yeah.
At least, like, release it as, I don't know, some kind of... like, come on.
Yeah. I'm just
sort of a Wii, though.
The talk of like
I know, but...
Live 13 as like this $20 downloadable game, that would have been like better than what they did, you know, like at least like it's still there. It's still out there. People are still talking about it. But nope. And so I think we're probably done with EA doing an actual basketball game.
Until next gen.
They should just give up and keep making NBA jams. That's fine with me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or what about an NCAA basketball game?
Revive Street. Street was good.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, like, do something different. Like, I mean, I think at this point, NBA 2K is the premier basketball series, and I don't think that's going to change no matter what EA
is. The only worry about that was that, you know, NBA 2K rose to prominence competing against Live.
Yeah.
Just like Madden... kind of competed against NFL 2K.
Yeah.
Those few years.
And then it got better, didn't it? I mean, until it started being the only football game.
And then there's still good things happening with those games, but not as much per year as there was before. And I like NBA 2K. It's great. But I can't imagine them pushing to put more money into it when they don't need to.
Yeah.
A lot of the trouble with major sports games is when one side does have a complete monopoly, they don't have to make it better.
No, of course not. You have a monopoly. Why would you worry about competition when there is none?
Yeah. And then there's those pseudo monopolies like with baseball.
Yeah.
2K can make whatever baseball game it wanted and sell on the 360. But the show was rocking it. And it seems like that will be the only baseball game next year. So if you have a 360 and want to play baseball, I don't know, man.
Buy a PS3?
Buy a PS3.
Buy that new PS3 Slim. There you go.
Yes.
A Wii and then, MLB Power Pros 2008. Yeah.
There you go.
Or MLB The Show. That one's good, too.
I've heard of that game. It's pretty good. All right.
All right, now to the more pointless and probably real pointless.
Let's pass judgment later.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
All right, then how about this? Xbox Live will start giving people with 10,000 achievement points 1% rebates on Xbox Live purchases, and 2% if you have 25,000 achievement points.
I loved how I complained.
I kind of like this. I don't.
Yeah.
I really think it's a really good idea. I know eventually people started thinking, okay, they're going to start rewarding people with achievements and trophies somehow other than just on sort of your forum signature or something like that. It's not so much of a significant discount. I mean, it's virtually nothing, but it, you know, for what you get, I think it's a genius move. I think this is great.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm more interested in the 25-cent birthday presents they're also going to start giving out.
You know it's an Avatar item. You know it's an Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Most Avatar items, they charge $2 for, though, so...
The new hat.
Yeah, it'll just be a hat that says happy birthday. Yeah. You're the birthday boy.
For legal reasons, they have to get something of value, so the quarter is usually what they say.
I think it's fine, and they don't really have to worry about, like, well, what if somebody hacks their system and gets 20,000? Then they'll save 2% off a $10 game. It's really... The risk is here is almost none. It is kind of a nice way. And a lot of people already have that have had 360s for a long time. A lot of people have 10,000 or more points. So I think it's a nice gesture. I think if they'd gone any higher, like 5 or 10%, then they would, you know, might be a little bit riskier. But no, I think it's a great move.
I mean, there are two parts to this. One is that the Xbox Live Rewards program already kind of gives you a small amount of points that I think probably more than that 2% rebate for...
I'm pretty sure it is.
They give you 20 points for taking a survey each month.
Yeah, I mean that's
and you get
it. But I just loved how the Angry Kirby's came out after this. It's like that's not enough. Kirby's. Like they just went from giving you nothing to giving you something. Why are you mad?
That's right. They're just giving you
stuff. Yeah, I didn't understand.
You're irrationally angry. They're just giving you more things. It's an incentive to buy things digitally. I mean, especially if you like get a big hard 360, start buying retail games digitally, and you know, you like every 20th retail game you get, you can get a $10 downloadable free. I mean, it's Club Nintendo-ish thing. Like whatever, just go with it.
Yeah, the thing that's going to drive me nuts is having 7 MS points left and nothing to buy it, use it on.
That could also be it. Well, I've had some left.
I've had 10 Microsoft points sitting in my account basically since I've had my Xbox, so I know how that is.
Yeah, the only problem with it is that Sony and Nintendo both have better discount plans for digital purchases.
Yeah.
Assuming you have a deluxe edition Wii U.
I mean, hack Club Nintendo's better.
Yeah, it's Club Nintendo too, yeah.
And you can get physical things that are of a higher value.
I like things.
Like gold nunchuck.
Great. Yeah, but it's not real gold.
I'm sad I missed that Kirby coin. I wanted to get that.
Yeah, but you had to enter for a chance to win the Kirby coin.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh, okay. Yeah,
they're like 250
that.
Kirby coins or something. It's like, oh, come on. Send everyone the Kirby
coin. That would have made me a happy Kirby.
Everyone. Give everyone the Kirby coin.
Yeah.
Be that expensive, guys.
I want a Kirby coin.
They should have just put it in the collection.
Yeah, or at least a pre-order. Yes.
Right. Like they released a coin with, I don't know if you guys remember Super Mario Galaxy.
I have that.
Yep. I have that coin.
Yeah.
Yep, I do too. It's a cool coin.
It is.
Yeah. I wish I had the Kirby coin.
Yeah.
They should have given one to, you know, hey, Sean, do we have more news?
Last news is DLC for New Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah, announced at the Nintendo
Direct.
Yes. Last minute Nintendo Direct for 250 for DLC.
Hey, everyone, get ready for a Nintendo Direct. Oh, New Super Mario Bros. 2 DLC. Nintendo, I wrote about this last month. You need a
Nintendo Power.
You need a venue for announcing things that are not enormous, but not tiny. Like, yes, like you need a place to do something that is between like your weekly press release of what just got put out on the eShop and a Nintendo Direct. This is something worthy of like putting out a video.
Yeah.
Or something. Mm-hmm. Or like putting some big post up where you talk about these things, but you don't need to be like, alert, alert, hey, all games media, Wada's gonna be talking in 3 hours.
This is important, guys. This is a big one.
I woke up in the middle of the night.
At least you'd have to stay up long.
There was like... yeah, but it's the only console manufacturer that gets their president to tell you about DLC for a fairly small game.
It's, and do it in character as a Brain Age.
Why not?
Nintendo can be so cute sometimes.
Well, I get the feeling they had that set up for the fun of doing the demon training thing. But then when they realized they wanted to do a short notice Nintendo Direct and didn't want to set up cameras, they could just be like, here, just record this and we'll put it through that system and it'll pop that up again. I was sad because I wanted to see like some inconsequential room of Nintendo headquarters. You know, they keep moving each one around to like, now we're in like the sound recording room. Now we're in the board room. But since this is a really short one, it's really like, now we're in the hallway.
Nintendo Direct in a hallway as Iwata goes between meetings.
I want a Nintendo Indirect where they film like a mirror.
Yeah, so Nintendo discovered DLC and had it announced to the world. That's basically it.
We'll see.
Yeah,
off that in Japan. So much money. They can't charge for it in the United States, though. They can't.
They can't.
That's going to be another one of those. Like, Square Enix would do it. I don't think Nintendo's going to do it. I think it's going to be like, with games in the past that have had DLC in Japan, it's like, look, we'll just give it to you.
Whatever.
Just take it. We can't make any money off America because you'll pay $35 for a game instead of the $60 we can charge in Japan. Just take whatever. Take all of the stuff.
take all of it.
See, like Reggie, he's trying to be happy, but you can tell. I mean, the reality of the American market is that people don't want to pay as much for things. Like people are like, oh, $60, we can't pay that for a game. And then you look in Japan, and like for example, every Final Fantasy releases for like $140, and people line up for it. Like, what? There's a reason we don't get small market stuff. It's because we don't pay the premium for it.
Nope.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, I know you would.
See, right now, I will pay $80 for a localized version of Valkyria Chronicles 3. I don't even care if it's dead.
All right.
You know, I'd pay $80 for that too.
Sure. I wouldn't, but okay.
Okay. Is that it, Sean?
I would say I would, and then when it came out, I'd wait till it went down in price.
How much would you pay for the Kirby coin?
I've never played a Kirby game, so probably nothing.
I was asking Graham. I know you've never played a Kirby game.
How much would I pay for the Kirby coin? In dollars or in coins?
Let's just say dollars.
I'd pay $15 for the Kirby coin.
Okay. I was gonna say $10, but
I would rather pay $10. But
you would rather pay any amount of money cheaper than $15, but you were willing to pay $15.
My ceiling.
Yeah.
Free shipping. Gotta be free shipping at $15.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. Well, if it's through, if we actually are buying things directly through Club Nintendo using not coins, then let's just say that's what we're doing. Then it'll be free shipping because Club Nintendo does free shipping, and they're awesome because of that.
So spend, let's say, 500 coins on it.
Yeah, okay.
Like, yeah.
That's what I was expecting it when I was, when, and then it disappeared before I knew it. And I didn't even know it was a, you could win this thing. So I was, that was sad.
Well, sorry. So we don't.
I'll make my own Kirby coin.
Okay. Take a picture of it. We'll put it on the side.
Okay. I'm surprised. All right. Actually, no, I just want to say, I'm surprised, I don't know if you're going to mention this, Sean, but we didn't really mention Greg and Ray leaving BioWare. I mean, it happened a while ago. I mean, probably like just 2 days after our last podcast went up. So yep. It's kind of old news at this point, but worth mentioning.
Yes, I was actually going to mention that next because I am very sad about it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem. I feel like they both said that they put in their notices in April. And I can't help feeling like that was directly related to the Mass Effect 3 issues or controversy.
I feel like this was related to the buyout. People have pointed out that it's like almost exactly
five years.
It's about 5 years later now, yes.
And also, they checked out for a while. I feel like...
I mean, Mass the Old Republic. I think the older...
Yeah,
the
old, I was going to say.
Yep,
the Old Republic is like a stress-inducing nightmare. And it was particularly successful. And they got brought in to try to fix it when it wasn't really their thing, even though they got the BioWare name on it. And then after that launched, they basically just like took a sabbatical and never really showed up. And that's how it's been since like January. So
I mean, I'm not one of those people who would be like, okay, now BioWare is due. Now it's over for BioWare. They're done for. But I mean, it's hard to say how much effort they put into games besides the Old Republic. Like,
the founders leaving, that makes me nervous though. Anytime you lose big, most companies for me, I mean, they start at the top. Success starts at the top. If you have a crappy owner, let's say for a sports franchise, you're going to have a crappy franchise. Those two leaving, it'll be really interesting to see how it happens. Cause I mean, people have been complaining lately about BioWare ever since they got bought by EA. So them two leaving, I don't know if it can help.
I wouldn't be surprised if the last game they were really directly involved in, besides the Old Republic, that actually came out was Dragon Age Origins. Like, I think Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3 especially, were all handled by a specific team that they maybe like gave some input, but I don't think,
Mass Effect was really Casey Hudson's thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And Guy's a good guy, but like, clearly like it was his vision, you know?
Yeah.
And he kind of came from Knights of the Old Republic, like that stuff I feel like the doctors were really involved in, but then like that team was assembled.
Yeah. And then Dragon Age, like that, I'm pretty sure they were heavily involved with Dragon Age, at least for most of the development, because that game was in development for a long time. And then Dragon Age 2, well, it was kind of rushed, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, barely were involved with that at all either, so.
Yeah.
I think that after Dragon Age 2 was fairly mediocre.
Yeah,
I heard that. I
beat one in the expansion, and I thought they were both pretty good. And I heard the second one, they kind of dropped the ball a little bit.
I'm gonna say right now, I think Dragon Age 2 is pretty good. I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's amazing. It's just not as bad as people make it out to be. But
yeah, it is a good game. It is not a great It is not the game you want as a sequel to Dragon Age, but it compared to all other things in the genre, it is a good game.
Right.
Yeah. I think even if that game is definitely below the quality you would expect from a BioWare game, some people would argue for Mass Effect 3 as well, although most of those complaints come from the ending and nothing else.
I mean,
if Dragon Age 3 comes out and it is received as well as Dragon Age 2 is, if not, you know, its critical reception is worse, then maybe I can understand starting to worry. Because at that point, you're pretty much in full-on Greg and Ray are not involved at all, probably, when that game started in production. So then maybe start worrying. But wait until their next game comes out, at least. You know, wait to see what they do next. And then,
have to do with Dragon Age 3 for it to get a better critical reception is to put in a second house. Maybe another cave.
Yeah, have a few more. Well, I think considering the fact that this game is probably twice the development time of Dragon Age 2, it kind of
should be a problem.
They are trying at least a little more. They're not trying to rush this one out, but still, I again, of course, the internet, they're just everyone
angry Kirby's.
They're angry Kirby's and pessimists, so they'll say anything if it's
anything
that slightly indicates something could possibly go wrong. They'll just be like, nope, that's it, BioWare's done.
Yeah.
So,
Well, hopefully not. I mean, we never like when game companies change to the point where they're irrelevant, like they, Rare or something like that. So we should definitely give them the benefit of the doubt.
BioWare will continue to do what they do, no matter what. Like, those games are going to sell. I think Dragon Age not as much as...
Yeah.
Dragon Age not as much as Mass Effect, but, like, it's still a pretty big seller for them, and, you know, as long as they continue to produce games that sell well, I think EA will be happy. And
still a lot of super talented people in very important positions in that company, and they will continue to be for the foreseeable future.
They have a new IP, apparently.
Whether they have the muscle to push back with EA is the only thing I would be wary of. Of the stuff where there was like, no, we're going to maintain creative freedom. Like, you may see a little more DLC creep and things like that, but like, I think, like, I don't see the quality of the game going down.
Yeah, I think that was the one thing Greg and Ray did, is they kind of kept EA at bay. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Not much though.
Not much. No, not much. But I mean, we'll be curious to see how much that changes with their next game.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Hooray!
Okay.
I don't know. Yes, video games.
Okay.
Let's talk about the games that everyone's been playing this week.
Yes.
Let's start with Graham.
Okay, Henry.
I am the game robot who likes to discuss games.
We are all taking on weird voices. I don't know where this is coming from.
This is a new segment, the game robot. Actually, the whole site.
Well, actually, it's actually gay game robot, but we're working on that a little bit.
That
later.
Doesn't seem like it would come up.
No, you wouldn't guess from his voice. Graham, you have been playing a certain Little Big Planet.
Yeah, a particular Little Big Planet. Yep.
Very cool. Big Planet.
of course.
Oh yes, yeah, everybody loves that one. Yeah, so I have been playing Little Big Planet for the Vita as a game.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this.
Drum roll.
Have you played Little Big Planet?
I have.
What did you think of Little Big Planet?
I thought it was incredibly fun in small doses with large amount of people. I love the creation. I think the level creation system was great. After I played it, I ranked it sort of very highly in my mind, but, you know, now that I think about it, I'm not quite as high on it as I used to be.
Okay.
I didn't really like it.
Okay.
I found all of it.
I found the concept really cool. I like that they tried, you know, the whole four-player multiplayer thing. It's a great party game. But the actual platforming and controls didn't ever really feel quite right. To me, like the whole 2D, 3D thing, I thought was really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly not bad, but I didn't rush out to get Little Big Planet 2.
Okay, so who has played Little Big Planet 2?
I never bother.
No.
Well, that says a lot. So Little Big Planet 2 was generally better. Like, they fixed a lot of the issues. With the first Little Big, like, it still has that multi-layered platforming, but you can get around a lot of that with good level design, and they figured that out. Plus, the community levels really allowed for a whole bunch of different kinds of levels, more so than the first one. There was a lot more freedom in the creation stuff. Little Big Planet Vita is not a port of Little Big Planet 2, but it has a lot of the same features.
I have to know one thing before I continue.
Okay.
The kind of swapping between different layers of like different 3D layers of the levels. I think that's always inherent to Little Big Planet, and I didn't mind that as much, but I did never like the controls. I mean, I did play some like a brief bit of Little Big Planet 2, but it wasn't like a ton. I didn't really dive into it. So the controls seem the same, and that was my big problem with the first game is the floaty controls. But I've heard that the Vita version kind of tightens the controls a bit, but I haven't had a chance to try the demo that just came out. So, is this true?
I have not had as many issues with the controls of Little Big Planet Vita that I have of 1 and 2.
Okay,
I agree with you. Like the physics based jumping was always kind of what was messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And if they haven't fixed it, they have certainly almost erased it from coming up in gameplay.
Okay.
That there's a lot more, like, You know, they had the Grabinator, the grappling hook that, like, they use for a whole bunch of stuff. So, like, it, when any of that, like, swinging around stuff, then the first game, you kind of just be like, oh, like, stand on this platform, and as it goes up, jump, and you'll jump higher. They do a lot more, like, swinging around and bouncing on bounce pads that have very specific trajectories and things. So it comes up less often.
Let me ask you this. Another problem I had with the first game was I sort of wanted to go back and complete all the levels, but I found in the world where you can choose levels sort of very annoying trying to figure out, okay, what was the first level? What was the last? Like, I couldn't really remember. So I thought sort of the hub area was a little annoying to navigate. Is it a little bit better in Little Big Planet Vita?
I mean, the hub is the same hub.
Okay.
The menu interface is entirely touch controlled.
Okay.
Which I wish they could have implemented buttons, and obviously since that same interface was like used buttons on the PS3, they probably could have left them in there. But I think they do it as a reminder that you're going to need to touch the screen for things, which I see a lot of first party Vita games doing. Like, now just for right now, just use the screen, like the pause menu when you can pause, but then you know all the things are on the screen. You tap the right thing.
Right. Right.
And they do that here. Okay. I've never had an issue. Yeah. The arrows go from one to the next, and they're kind of in like a line.
I mean, Little Big Planet's main competition is very obviously New Super Mario Bros. And again, the more it sort of sinks, I would think, and the more it sinks in, the more I think I prefer that, actually. Depending on the kind of crowd you're with, Little Big Planet is probably better as like a fun party game with people that don't really know games. Or aren't sort of like really into it. New Super Mario Bros. 4 player can be incredibly fun, but my God, if you're playing with people that sort of are goofing around or like think it's hilarious when they kill you by accident, I mean, it can be very frustrating if you're trying to have trying to get every item or beat every level and things like that. So,
well, I am not going to once in my life say that Little Big Planet is better than New Super Mario Bros. For the Wii, because that game was great. The levels that are in it are really, really tightly designed, and like the controls are made for that. And there's definitely a lot to that. What makes Little Big Planet great is the customization and the creativity of the users. And that's what they've been improving on iteration after iteration. And with the Vita, they've added the touch controls, which are not bad. They do a lot of interesting things with it, even in the platforming. But the coolest part of the game is that basically, people can make apps. Like, I mean, it seems kind of dumb, but like all of the like silly, addictive puzzle games and like physics based things you can do on a phone, you can just make it because the game allows for touch controls. It allows for weird camera angles and such, so you can set up whatever sort of scheme you want to set up. And a new feature allows for like data saving for levels. So not only can you like, oh, I got this puzzle game and I can like save my high score or save my progress based on what puzzles I've completed or whatever it is, you can also save stats if like it's still kind of early in the game's life, but people are trying like side-scrolling action RPG type things. There was a game that was trying to be like Muramasa, I guess. But you have like, you know, HP, MP, weapon, like spells, and all this was saved across playthroughs and things like that, which is really kind of cool. I spent a lot of my time playing, like, there's a really good Bust a Move clone, you know, there was a community level that was basically like one of those like fit things. Like, I mean, it's an interesting time waster, and it's a portable system. So interesting time wasters are pretty good.
It sounds like the main reason you would come to Little Big Planet at this point is basically just for the user content because the actual like campaign or single player levels that are designed in the game and that you have right there from the start, I'm sure those get better with each game. But again, I think it seems like what you're saying with the touch controls and stuff, it seems like that
it's just that. To me, it justifies the controls of the system more than any other game, and it like demonstrates it better than any other game. So it really should have been like the killer launch title for the system.
Probably.
And not Little Deviants, but you should still get it now because it's pretty good. But yeah, we can move on. It's a good game.
Let's move on. Okay, Andrew, why don't we do you next? What have you been playing?
All right, well, I've been playing Hell Yeah, Wrath of the Dead Rabbit.
Great title.
Yes.
I hope this game is good. I love when games have fun titles.
Hey Andrew.
Yeah.
Is this game good?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
All right.
It took me a while to see it. First time I made that joke, I didn't catch on.
It's been a couple weeks of me intentionally asking him questions, the answer of which should be hell yeah.
See, basically, we've been preparing for this. This is our skit, and now it's done. So
yeah,
this is the height of the podcast.
Yep. All right.
We're the best at funny.
Yes.
So you're saying you're actually prepared for this for once?
I prepare for everything.
I know you do. I was talking about Andrew.
Yes, I prepared. This is what I've been looking forward to. I've been preparing for this one joke. I nailed it. I can just go home. I can just stop.
You know what's really funny? Just talking about it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious if you keep talking about it. Yeah.
So this game is...
There's a video game.
Yeah. Tell them about the game.
All right. So Arcado, they make a lot of really kind of cute but also deceptively hard platformers and, you know, other type... They made a puzzle game and, you know, other type of games. But, like, I associate them with platformers like the Xbox Live indie games platformers like Jump and... what's the other one? Pixel. Those two. I when I think of Arcado, I think of games like that. So this is pretty similar in the regard. It's like it's a 2D platformer, but it's also a side-scrolling twin stick shooter, and it's also a WarioWare style minigame collection. So it's strange. It is going to be tough for me to kind of describe this game. Like
just try for like an hour.
Okay, an hour? All right.
Actually, no.
Right.
You have 12 seconds.
I'm just gonna read my review really slowly. So writing the review, it took me a little while to kind of like. There's so many things in this game, and I'm trying to figure out like what is the most important.
It's
so I think
super gamey game. There's a lot of games in this game.
Super gamey, super super referential. Every second of the game, there's some kind of reference, even if you don't notice it. There are references to Mortal Kombat, to Sonic the Hedgehog. To, I don't know, I think I noticed a Halo reference at one point. I don't know. There's everything in there. Yeah. Probably. You know, there's a ton of stuff. And basically, it's, again, talking about Mark of the Ninja last week, we mentioned Metroidvania. I'm just going to say Metroid-like because I think that's more appropriate. So, we still haven't come up with another term. So, Metroid-like, it's a Metroid-like game where...
It's a recursive adventure.
Recursive adventure? Really? That's it?
That's the thing I just made up that sounds right.
Okay, sure. It is a recursive adventure game where basically you have about 10 or so different areas. You start in an area and then as you progress you discover areas that you can't get to yet, so you're like, okay, I'm gonna come back to those later, and then through that you'll get new power ups, you know, more money to buy upgrades, things like that, and then
money's,
you know,
pretty that, good.
That is cool. But the main draw of this game is you are this dead rabbit who is trying to stop these 100 monsters in hell from leaking your photos, these personal private photos of you and a rubber ducky. Ducktator is the ducky's name. And
it's
basically
the last time I hear that.
Yeah, yes.
It's great. That's a great name.
And I think it's called the Hellternet is where they're leaked. That's the hell's internet. So
Yep,
so there's that. And then anyway, so basically it gets 100 page views. So he's like, all right, well, that means I got to go kill 100 monsters because they saw these pictures and I got to make sure that no one alive has seen these pictures.
Seems logical. So
that's pretty much the story of the game. And
points for originality, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it works like you in each area there are a handful of different monsters, and the twist is you have to figure out how to defeat each monster and also how to get to them. And you know, depending on the monster, it'll be easy to defeat them, but tough to get to them, or, you know, vice versa. So you have this wheel that you're controlling, and it kind of acts as like a drill. You can drill through things and also kind of kill enemies with it. And then it also acts as kind of like a jetpack. So once you start using it, you can hold the A button down and it'll do like a longer jump, which will let you get to like higher areas. And then use those two things kind of combined to get through some of the more basic areas. And then, of course, you start getting guns, like machine guns, rocket launchers, things like that. And all of those things you pick up will help you defeat the different monsters. Now, this is where the WarioWare part comes in, because once you defeat a monster, you will trigger a like kind of mini game, or WarioWare calls them micro games, and it's basically you just have to complete it real quick, and then as soon as you do it, you get this kind of amazing and hilarious death animation for the monsters, which could involve like you shoot a coin into an arcade machine, so a bunch of Space Invader like things come down from the sky and shoot the monster to death.
None of these really follow logic. Let's
no, there that. There is no, this game doesn't follow logic in general, really, I think.
But, well, yeah, Bunny sort of killing things from hell because it saw some personal photos. You can throw rationality and sense out the window, which is fine as long as they go the whole way with it.
They do.
They're abstract concepts. You can't throw them at all.
it's very difficult for people to understand. So yeah, and then of course there's this little mini game that you unlock, called another mini game outside of the mini games.
I believe it's called Chao Garden.
Yes, it is basically Chao Garden, but even more simplified than Chao Garden. It's called The Island, and in it you basically put all of the monsters that you have killed to work. And through that, you can earn more money, more health, and some like new items to unlock to buy at the store, and some secret things as well. And it's very basic. There's no depth to it at all, and you could just completely ignore it if you want. But it's kind of funny to see all these different like weirdly designed monsters working together, and also you will get neat items from it. So it takes like 5 minutes to go there every time you pop out to the main menu, and it's just a neat little addition. They could have just cut that completely from the game, and you wouldn't have really lost anything from it. But it's still cool that it's there. There's more game in this game.
They saw like, hey, we could just put some more game here, so they found some room in the game for more game.
Feeling that was like a part of a different game, and they're like, well, we're just not going to make that game anymore, and just put it in this game. I feel like that's kind of how Arcado would work. They just seem like bizarre in that way. So anyway, yeah, it's a lot of fun. The controls are tight. The level design is great. The art style is fantastic. Great music. There's a song stuck in my head. I finished this game a few days ago, and there's a song still stuck in my head from it. And I want to listen to it more, but there's no way to get the soundtrack.
Sing the song.
No. I refuse. It's very French. It actually does have lyrics, and it's very French.
Well, learn French, then sing the song.
Well, it's not. No.
Right
not,
now, on the podcast.
That can be the podcast's intro next time we do the show.
When I say very French, I don't mean it's in French. It's in English.
Okay, but, well, then you don't have to learn French. Just sing the song.
It's clearly a French native speaker singing an English song, and it's amazing.
Okay, so sing it like you're a Heavy Rain voice actor.
All right, there you go. No, I'm not singing. Never singing on this podcast. I'm sorry. So
okay, so at least we have a title for the podcast. Okay, sing, Andrew.
I stopped recording. Now you can sing.
Nope. Okay, so darn.
We tried, listeners. We tried to get Andrew to sing.
For you, we tried for you, but Andrew hates all of you.
I do. I'm sorry, but I take that back. I kind of like you, so I'm going to tell you a secret. Play Hell Yeah.
That's not a secret.
No, wait. Play Hell Yeah, and then you will get the song stuck in your head too, and then you can sing it.
We can just picture you singing it to us, is what you're saying.
No, just you can sing it. Everyone play Hell Yeah.
Can you say the lyrics rhythmically so that they can then get the song stuck in their head and then auto-tune you?
I'm still not even... See, this is the funny thing. I'm still not even convinced what the lyrics are. Like, I think I know what they are, but I'm not sure. I need to hear it again, but I can't. The soundtrack's not available.
We need to play through the game again.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to start on it. So, yeah, great game. I think it's really fun. It has a lot of style, and there's a lot to it. And even if you don't like referential humor, I guarantee there's at least one joke in that game that'll catch you by surprise and make you laugh. Because I'm getting kind of sick of referential humor in games, but this game, you know, it did it right. So, A+.
Sounds good. Okay.
I think it's because it doesn't dwell on it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, exactly. It happens like
ha ha. Look at that reference we made. Is how every other game does it.
Yeah, so, you could blink.
And how our podcast does it too.
Yes, we love references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, Dry Bones isn't in this game.
I wasn't even gonna ask this time. But doesn't make sense. It's not a character roster.
But the rabbit is a skeletal bunny, so he's basically dry bones. If you, dry bones was a bunny,
it's not. No, that's not gonna work.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm gonna say one more game real quick. Tokyo Five, Jungle.
Four. Tokyo Jungle. Okay, that was it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been reading your tweets about Tokyo Jungle. That sounds like we need to have that on the next podcast. Guys, it sounds very intriguing.
Just a note, guys. Tokyo Jungle is a work of fiction. As the game prompt told me every time I turn it on. Just in
really?
Case,
yeah. Not based in real life events?
Yeah, it's a work of fiction. There are no dinosaurs roaming around Tokyo fighting commerce.
You still exist.
Why not?
Just,
they should do that.
Disclaimer, you exist.
You exist, yeah.
You do not no longer exist.
Yes.
Thanks.
So, Tokyo Jungle is kind of awesome. I haven't played it much, but I just wanted to mention it because I don't think we'll get a chance to talk about it at all.
Yeah.
But it's again, another one of those zany Japanese games.
Yep.
I don't really see that often anymore, but...
Kind of a roguelike.
Yeah, it's kind of a roguelike. Actually, funny, yeah. I was just playing FTL and I went to play Tokyo Jungle. It's a lot of roguelike.
It's kind of the same game.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. See, the problem is FTL doesn't have a Pomeranian.
See, if FTL had a ship shaped like a Pomeranian?
What if the ship just straight up was a Pomeranian?
Just a Pomeranian? So does that mean whether the crew would be inside of the Pomeranian, or would they be ride the Pomeranian? Like, on top of it?
Either one works for me.
Alright. So, would the Pomeranian shoot missiles out of its mouth?
No. It's a Pomeranian. What's wrong with you?
Okay. Uh-oh.
No, you can pounce.
Okay.
You can bite.
And then the first time you do that, the entire crew falls off and dies. And then it's just game over.
It's roguelike.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. It's tough. So, deal with it.
Tokyo Jungle is awesome. I played as a Pomeranian who took down a horse earlier. That was cool. So
yep.
Everyone should
that's,
play that.
That's almost not doable.
Yeah, but it happened.
Great.
Sadly, it's not based on real events, so that won't actually happen or hasn't happened. But
yeah, that has not happened.
if it has, just in case
you were wondering, Tokyo still has people, as does the rest of the planet.
There is a Salaryman DLC where you actually play. it's only in Japan right now, but you actually play as a person, like acting as an animal and pouncing on other animals and killing them. And I wonder, I don't want to know how they get into the mating stuff with that, but
you really shouldn't think about it.
No, I'm not gonna. Although if that DLC comes out here, I'll buy it. Just out of curiosity.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, you pretty much have to.
All right.
If you have PlayStation Plus, you get not only get a discount in the game, you get all of the current DLC for free right now. So.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, free until you don't have PlayStation Plus anymore, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on. It's all the tiny, tiny, tiny animals. But yeah.
Well, there's also an alligator, but I don't know if that one's out yet.
If it's out, it's not free. Yeah. Okay. How about
so next? Yeah, Jeff.
I've been back in World of Warcraft.
Now, what would possibly make you get back into that again?
Oh, you sound so sad, Jeffrey. It's okay. We're here for you. Tell us about it.
There are pandas, right?
Yes, there are.
Okay, great.
No, this is
moving on.
This is hard for me to resist because I know everyone thinks that it's the dumbest idea, but I friggin' love playing the panda in the original Dota. I think it's the coolest idea ever. I friggin' love pandas. Jeff, am I right? Is it the coolest thing ever to play as a panda?
Actually, I think it does work pretty well.
Yay!
Yeah, I was gonna say it can be the dumbest thing ever and still fun.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't, when they say it's a silly idea, they don't sort of realize that everything in WoW is pretty silly to begin with.
Yeah, it's not as if it's like it's classic fiction here. I mean, it's World of Warcraft. There's lots of dumb shit in there, but it's still really fun.
With pandas.
Yeah, I mean, the game is already full of referential humor and crazy things that shouldn't actually happen in a high fantasy setting.
And it looks like they made the panda characters pretty fun to play. I don't know anything about it, though. What's the, like, where's the starting area?
It is on the back of a giant swimming turtle.
Oh!
Really?
Of course.
Sure.
No, really. It's,
I'm actually not surprised about this.
That is
awesome.
It's
a giant turtle with a mountain on its back swimming through the sea.
awesome.
In the middle of the two main continents and the main world, or is it in Northrend? Or
it is separate and you can't return to it.
Oh, okay.
When you make a panda character, you don't have a faction yet, and you choose one at the end of that the first zone.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Can you just be the panda faction?
No, I don't think there is a panda faction. It's either Horde or Alliance.
I wanted to be the panda faction. The heck with you guys and fighting pandas.
Just panda well, you just don't leave the first area, right?
There you go. Just chill out.
Yeah. Yep. That's not a waste of money at all.
No.
You're owning a turtle, right? Like, what is it that you are not content with your lot in life about when you are a panda riding on a turtle?
Pay 15 bucks a month to be a panda riding on a turtle.
If you could be a Pomeranian riding on a turtle, though.
A panda also, riding on a turtle.
Also, the panda's racial mount, a turtle.
Why not? So
you can be a can you level up to the point where you get a mount while still on the turtle?
No, you can't buy it in there.
That would have been.
You can't be a panda on a turtle.
No.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
They just lost my purchase.
Yeah, never mind. I was gonna get into it.
As far as the rest of the game goes, if you didn't like WoW before, this expansion isn't going to make you like it again.
Is it
more of the same.
But is it a solid expansion that's in this that stands up to the rest of the expansions thus far? Like, is there enough content? Is there enough variety of things that will keep people coming back?
Yeah, if you like the game already, it is.
There is
more of what you like
with pandas.
Yeah.
Did they raise the level cap to 90?
They did.
Wow. Great.
So there needs to be one more expansion to get to 100, and then they can release the next MMO. That's how it's going to work, right?
Possibly.
How many subscribers do they still have? Isn't it like 7 to 8 million people?
Yeah, everyone was saying, oh, WoW is in decline, WoW is in decline. There's still 8 million people paying for it.
8 million is a lot of people. People.
down from 11 million.
That's a lot bigger than
a lot of countries. I can't believe how much money they must have been making off that game. I
believe it was $1.25 billion.
Is it really? Oh my gosh.
Yep.
It's been going since 2004. It's been going almost now for 10 years. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they spent a lot of years of that money on Tony Hawk Ride, so. I wish I were kidding about that.
The bad release, the bad erase is the good, eh?
Yeah.
You cannot play as Tony Hawk in World of Warcraft, though.
Yet.
How about Dry Bones?
Differences. So
what else you're spending that money on is on the StarCraft team not making games.
I think they're still working on that new one.
No, they're just kind of twiddling their thumbs.
I mean, the beta's out, right?
They're playing StarCraft. So
yeah, they're playing StarCraft. And
heard that game's pretty good. So yeah.
Well, hey.
Yeah.
Although again, I think people who said back when that game came out that it's only a third of a game are stupid because. I'd say about as long as, I mean, in terms of the campaign, I guess technically.
That's
dumb.
As someone
I believe it was, there was what, 25 or 30 missions in it? That's as big as the first game, just with one faction.
The campaign is the same size as the first game. It's just a third of the overall story that they have planned.
My issue is that they said that the whole thing was going to be done in basically the same engine, and it's been almost three years now, and we don't have the second part of it. At this rate, the third game is going to be 9 years after the first game, and they'll be using the same engine still.
That's typical for them.
That's the thing, though.
Part of the Swarm coming out December 31st.
It's like they were bought by Valve or something. They don't know how to count to three.
Well, there's going to be a fourth expansion that's going to have pandas.
Yeah. But honestly, I think Blizzard can get away with that. If any company can get away with it, it's Blizzard.
Terran, Protoss.
Or Valve.
Pandas.
Yeah. Yes. That's why they haven't revealed, they haven't talked about the third expansion. It's just going to be pandas.
Yep.
The new race is pandas.
Okay. So, hey, Jeff, you played another game.
I did.
Does it have pandas?
No.
Why not?
I like the end.
Well, I don't want to talk about it then.
Yeah.
We can go back to talking about Tokyo Jungle. That game has pandas.
Sure.
Are you sure?
There you go. Yeah. Yes, there is a panda. You can play as a panda. You have to unlock it, though.
Little Big Planet Vita has pandas because someone could make it.
There you go.
Probably also dry buns.
So, Torchlight 2.
Yes.
Is that a good game?
It is.
Okay.
It is more Torchlight with co-op.
With co-op. Co-op is the big thing.
Is it local co-op?
Yeah.
Because that's what Graham needs.
It's not.
No, it is not.
What about two PCs in one room? Is that local then?
Well, I guess that's technically local.
It just could be. Happen. I mean,
there you go, Graham. Don't buy a second PC. Don't buy a second PS3. Buy a second PC.
I have PCs.
There you go.
I don't know how low the system specs are. But had to.
It does not run Windows 98.
Yeah. So, what is special about Torchlight 2 in the context of people who have played Torchlight and Diablo 3? I feel like that's the question.
Runic has developed this crazy technology that is playing a single player game without an internet connection.
Whoa.
What?
What?
No, I don't.
I know, it's weird.
I had a buildup of crazy in my ear. Let me just wipe that out. Okay, say that again.
I can play Torchlight 2 without being on the internet.
Blasphemy!
What?
Jeff, we're exiling
you
to Liar's Island.
Why would you want to do that anyway? That's
Liar's Island is on the back of a turtle.
I don't know.
That's right.
So wait,
Blizzard should be devoting some of its panda money to researching this.
Yeah. So you're saying that if I wanted to play it on a plane, I could?
Yes, though it could be a bit cramped.
Can I eat it in a box? Can I eat it with a fox?
There are no foxes in it, I don't think.
I think, going off the topic of referential humor, I think. Torchlight 2 has plenty of that too, as well, right?
That's a segue that works at any moment.
Yes. But, like, as I've seen screenshots of Buffalo Bill's basket, and then there's a quest that involves putting lotion in the basket.
Yes, there is.
There's things like that. I've seen. Yeah.
Referential humor is getting to be a bit of a trend for games releasing in October this year.
A little bit.
And games releasing in September.
And just games.
Waiting for the games with referential humor referencing the fact that referential humor is now a thing that they can reference.
That'll happen. That'll be Torchlight 3.
We should get on that. Yeah. I'll program it, someone else can write it, and Graham can do the graphics.
Yep.
Alright.
Xbox Live Indies.
Do it.
All right. Only a dollar.
Steam Greenlight.
Oh, don't talk to me about Steam Greenlight. Oh, sorry. Just as the resident person who has to sift through PR emails, this game has broken the top 76 in Steam Greenlight. This game has broken the top 72 in Steam Greenlight. Oh, every day.
Like, there you go. Look,
would you rather have that?
New rule. You can tell us when you put it on Steam Greenlight, and you can tell us when it is greenlit. Yes. That's it.
Do you prefer that? Do you think that's worse than Kickstarter emails?
It's worse because things are going to be in greenlight forever.
Yeah.
At least Kickstarter is like usually like, okay, 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
And people send stuff when it starts, send stuff when it's almost over, and send stuff when it's over. And then you start from them because they're never going to release their product, so you just never hear from them again. It's fine.
There you go. Valve is single-handedly supporting the PR industry.
Ruining the PR industry.
No, I think it's already been kind of ruined. I think it's...
Nah, there are a lot of people doing a really good job out there. But they work for... Are like, we need to tell people about Greenlight because it's not working. Well, because Greenlight. Never mind. Never mind.
Torchlight 2.
Torchlight 2 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey. I don't know what else we can say about it other than the fact that they added co-op and its co-op is good.
Yep. Hey, Sean.
What?
All right. In the middle of playing innocent here, Sean. You know what we're going to ask you. Users know what we're going to ask you. Just answer the question.
Yeah.
What is your favorite ice cream?
Tell us the truth.
I mean, sorry, what game have you been playing?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That sounds like an awesome game. Are you telling me it's not? Come on.
It's a very awesome ice cream.
Seriously.
You got me all excited.
John.
Seriously, I've been playing War of the Human Tanks. And yeah. It's,
that game is a...
It's a game, kind of.
I'm asking because I actually do not know. What is this game?
It is a action strategy game with that thinks it's an anime and virtual novel.
Virtual novel or visual novel?
Virtual novel.
Okay.
There's about 30 minutes of text between each 5-minute segment of strategy.
Yep. So
and everyone is chibi-ized.
A little bit of background of this game. This is kind of, it's been like a bit of a cult favorite in Japan, and has like been leaking out, you know, among people who could manage to play it, and has been this thing where like, why don't people release this elsewhere? And so a company finally localized it and is releasing it.
What company is that? Anyone we know?
Fruit Bat Studios.
Yeah, those guys. I love those guys.
Sounds made up.
It's a Fruit Bat Factory.
Fruit Bat Factory.
Oh, there we go. Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
I want to go to a factory that makes fruit bats.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're, you know, and they're getting it in various channels, basically places that are not Steam. They're on Greenlight.
How many times have you told about that?
Just once. They've been good. They've been good. But it's available via normal things right now. You can get it at like Gamersgate and stuff. But yeah, so Sean, that game, yes, is a visual novel / turn-based strategy game, where all your units are tanks, but all your units are also like little girls.
Yes.
That are tanks.
Yes. And they die in one hit.
That doesn't sound very tank-like.
No.
So what makes them
like
tanks?
World War One.
You can assemble them with parts from destroyed tanks.
You turn destroyed tanks into little girls
and
are also
new tanks. Yes, I turn little girl tanks into new little girl tanks after they've been destroyed.
I don't like where this conversation is.
Oh God.
And you can use a lot of parts from them to research and build new types of little girl tanks.
This has to be from Japan.
Yes. No. Yes. I believe we covered that.
Yes. It's very, very Japan.
Yeah. So the strategy of like the battles. What's on there?
Well, basically, you have these units, and they have to go in a grid pattern.
Yeah.
And you can't see, but maybe one or two spots away from you.
Okay.
So you don't have any idea what's out there. You can shoot into areas that you can't see, hoping to hit something. If you do, it will die because everything dies in one hit.
Cool.
However, it's the fact that everyone dies in one hit and you can't see anything. Even you can't even reveal it and then walk away and then it'll still be revealed. So it kind of lends itself more to stumble around in the darkness until you see something and shoot it before it shoots you.
That's a lot of games.
I don't know. That sounds. I'm getting an XCOM vibe from that, in a way. But with little girl tanks.
Exactly.
Except it's not turn based, or it's very much a real time game.
Okay.
Because your units will all randomly receive a signal, and you can then move them after they receive their signal.
Got it.
And then if you don't move them fast enough, they lose that signal.
This sounds weird.
Or if you start to move them and then change your mind, they lose the signal, and you have to wait again.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about this game, but I don't
think any of them are going to be answered ever. I think if you played this game to completion, you'd still not answer your own questions.
Probably. Here's the other thing. Between each level, between each battle, it ends each chapter, they have an ending credits and song, and then opening credits and song.
Yep.
It thinks it's an anime, and that each episode is an actual episode, like on TV.
Whoa. Yeah. Sure.
So it's like Asura's Wrath or Alan Wake. Yes.
Sure.
Or
with poorly sung Japanese songs in between.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. I mean, I'll say this in structure, if not in content, it is very similar to, say, Sakura Wars.
Ah, okay. All right.
Because there is this story told with talking to people. There's not nearly as much interactivity, and the strategy is not great because we love Sakura Wars around here. It's a much better game. But there's a story, and then there's kind of, oh, look, now time for the battle. So we do the battle. And then, like, you know, there's a little interstitial thing between each one. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that game is super weird. And if you like super weird stuff,
You should probably try it out.
Yeah.
It is definitely super weird.
There may be an opportunity in your future for you to pick that up from us, and stay tuned to our community Twitter account at SBG Community, and we might be giving away a couple copies of that game. But yeah, hey, let's move on to the main topic.
The big game.
Big game.
The big game that I probably haven't played.
We're talking about the Super Bowl.
Oh, I haven't played that either.
Yes.
They didn't want me. I don't know why.
All right. Seriously.
Borderlands 2.
Yep, okay,
someone had to say it.
Nope.
And that was me.
Okay.
So yeah, but I never played it.
That's tough. That's tough.
I was correct.
I will say that there are no little girl tanks in Borderlands 2. That
no
I have
pandas.
Seen.
Nor dry bones.
No pandas, no dry bones, as far as I know.
Yeah. So far.
Well, then what makes it so great?
It does contain a lot of referential humor.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a QR code. If you scan it, it's the artist that made the QR code. That's pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then it says, Ho-Oh. After. Right. It's his name, and then Ho-Oh.
Oh.
Like the Pokemon, but without the hyphen.
Oh. Ho-Ho.
Borderlands 2. Who has played it?
Everyone but Sean.
Yes.
Everyone in the world but Sean.
Yes, he's the only person.
Has experienced life. Things that exist.
Okay, so yeah.
I would say for me, the thing that stood out the most, I'm not too far into it. I'm playing co-op with my girlfriend. Co-op is great.
I haven't been able to play co-op, but I'll try too soon.
Excellent. Sure. Playing with my girlfriend, we played through the first game in like a marathon session in about a week and a half, including about a six-hour session the day before Borderlands 2 came up.
Stop.
That sounds like too much Borderlands for one short time period.
Feels like you died.
Well, I played it a lot, but for her, we needed to get through it before we got to the sequel. I don't know if it's going from the PS3 for Borderlands 1 to the 360 for Borderlands 2, but everything seems better. The animation, frame rate, enemies, the whole feel, graphics.
Yeah,
everything
I think that's
seems
kind of
better
from the 360 version.
And I think it's just great. We had a blast with the first one, but the second one, I don't think I can ever go back to the first one now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the improvements of the AI alone, like the fact that guys will stumble when you shoot. Guys will actually react to being shot. Like,
that's right. They'll dodge. Or they'll try and dodge.
That didn't happen in Borderlands 1 at all. Borderlands 1 was run backwards and shoot these guys till they die. Borderlands 2 is sometimes they will actually avoid your attacks and react to being shot. That
you probably still run backwards because that's
Still lots of running backwards and shooting, but not nearly as and because of this, it is a much more difficult game. Not like super difficult, but more difficult, and because of that, I think it's more rewarding too.
It's pretty difficult.
I think Jeff's been having this problem. He's having trouble getting through, I think, a certain mission because he's playing solo.
Yeah,
playing solo. The fact that having people, because you really just have that, you know, trust. So even if you are in a tight spot, having a buddy come over and help you out with a second wind is just huge. Especially where we're playing right now, she's the assassin and I'm the siren. So the siren has a bunch of Healy abilities, that goes a long way to keeping us alive in battle. So I know Gunzerker seems to be all the rage, but,
I am Gunzerker.
I hear Gunzerker is very fun.
I kind of regret picking it, but the thing about Gunzerker is his ability is to wield two weapons at once for a limited time.
Yeah.
And It's great if you have two of the same kind of weapons, yeah. But if you happen to be in a situation where for some reason you have a rocket launcher and a machine gun, then you just kind of, it's just kind of weird. Like, it,
oh, okay.
It doesn't work as well because, this is what happened to me once. I was in a very small area and I was like, all right, there are a ton of enemies in here and I just kind of want to charge in here, just start shooting at them, kind of kill off a couple of them. And I forgot that I had a rocket launcher equipped, and I forgot that he would use the two weapons that are kind of right next to each other, the top two slots in your weapon wheel or weapon selecty thing. And I ended up, yes, technical term right there. So I ended up with a machine gun and a rocket launcher, and I didn't realize until I had shot a rocket at a wall nearby and blown myself up. And my co-op partner was too far away, and I could not get revived. So you have to be careful with that. And it's cool to wield two weapons. It's fun, and it's a good way to get, like, if you and a partner, you and, you know, your other teammates are in a situation where they can't get, you know, good shots off at everyone else.
I'm holding out for four weapons.
Going back to Asura's Wrath, you just grow two extra arms and then you got four weapons? Or, sure. Or are you saying, like, you hold one in your mouth and then, like, I don't...
Don't finish that.
Okay. Fine. So it's good to get out there and just kind of like, hey, everyone, look at me. I have two guns and I'm shooting you with two guns now. And then everyone will look at you. And then if you have, for example, my teammate has the commando class. So she would throw out the turret, and then all of a sudden they would be focused on the turret, and then that would give me time to charge up my super move again. And that's kind of like a good balance. And I think Gunzerker is a great class if you're playing co-op. If I was playing this by myself, I would not be having that much fun because it's fun, but again, you can get into those situations very easily where you will not be in cover because you are trying to use this super move. But if you're trying to hide in cover and also use this special move that lasts a limited time, it's not going to be very effective. So it's the best co-op class, but not the best solo class is what I'm saying here.
Okay.
Don't play the game solo, and if you can help it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine solo. I played a little solo. I played through most of Borderlands 1 solo as well, and I think it's okay solo. I mean, again, Borderlands has always been about co-op, but I don't think it's bad if you're playing solo, but it's definitely a kind of game that if you ever want to replay it, you should definitely play co-op at least once.
Yeah, the problem I was running into was not so much playing the whole thing solo, but playing the whole thing on my own schedule without a dedicated co-op partner.
Yeah, I understand.
I would group with random people when they happen to be online, but then it would sort of end up where everyone was a different level. We couldn't always join with each other.
Yeah, like it could be tough because if you end up joining with a guy who's a higher level, even if he's on the same mission as you, like he's going through a second playthrough. I've seen people who are just like tagging along with this guy, getting downed every 5 seconds, and then the other guy pretty much cleaning up all the enemies and getting all, you know, basically killing enemies to give the other guy experience while the other guy just keeps getting killed over and over again. So
that's me in Halo.
So it is not a game you jump into random games to play unless you know for sure, you know, that game is going to be, you know, relatively close to where you are in terms of level, because otherwise it's not going to be very fun for the lower level person. But I think Borderlands has always kind of been like that. I mean, this game is definitely tougher, so because of that, it might be even less fun doing that. But I think it's just kind of essentially the experience to play with someone you know.
It's great. I know it's been getting a lot of good reviews. I haven't heard too many negative things about it. I know some people are mentioning like the quest system is still sort of go here, kill these things, come back. So I can say maybe in the third one there's some room to improve, but I haven't heard very many complaints overall.
Well, the menus are unnecessarily skewed.
See, I like the menus better than the first one. I thought the first game's menus were a little clunky. These are a little better.
Oh, sure. I like the menus a lot. I just think they don't need to be skewed.
And yeah, fair enough.
They're a lot more intuitive, but like just from like reading it standpoint, it's a little rough.
Yeah. I'm playing the PC version, and as much of an improvement as it is over the first Borderlands,
which I hear is huge.
Yeah, it's a huge improvement, but the menus still could have been designed more for a PC interface.
But at least the PC version looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean, my biggest problem with the menus is this. They're still kind of can't overcome this problem of when you look at a weapon on the ground and it pops up a little menu telling you, hey, this weapon compared to the weapon you're currently using, this is how it compares. But if you actually want to look at it compared to other weapons, let's say you have slightly weaker weapons than the one you've been using, you know, for a decent chunk of the game, and you want to swap those ones out, you have to either switch to those weapons or go through the menu, hit compare, and then specifically compare it to those weapons. It's I don't know how they could do this.
For a game that has as many items and weapons as it does, it's a little cumbersome to sort of change. Yeah, when we play co-op, we have a rule where it's basically like, okay, even if you pick up a gun that's good or anything like that, wait until we're maybe back at the main hub in Sanctuary, or if you've leveled up. Because if you're going to be checking in the menus, comparing guns, anytime you want, it's just going to be a slag. You know, it's just going to take forever.
I've just come to the realization that I just pick up every gun until my gets full, and then once I get back to a safe area where I actually can sell stuff, I look through the guns, you know, compare them to the other guns, and then just like sell half of it because half of it's probably really bad, and then get some chump change, and then move on.
Yeah, and then move on. Yeah.
Because if you're just kind of like in the middle of battle or just after a battle, if you see like three guns on the ground, and you want to kind of like take the time to examine how they are compared to each gun, it just takes too long. So you have to just pick them up and keep going, because it would really bog down the experience if you're doing that after every firefight.
Oh yeah.
And there are a lot of
my favorite addition they've done, and I know they've done a lot of improvements. At first, when I heard that your guns don't really level up, I thought that was kind of annoying. But the badass ranks and the tokens, to me, is a genius idea, because now you have incentive to sort of try different things and switch guns around.
Yeah.
If you had a gun in the first game, I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything else but sniper rifles, because I want my sniper rifle level to go up. But now you'd be like, okay, well, I have this explosive gun, but if I switch to a corrosive, I can get more badass tokens quicker, and then, you know, use that for permanent stat upgrades. I think it's genius.
The badass tokens also are account wide, so they apply to all of your characters.
Yep. So if you want to run through another game, you're going to have all those bonuses. Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, it encourages you to try the different classes. Like, I've never played a Siren, but I, you know, when I finish my first playthrough, maybe I'll go back and check out the Siren class, see what that's all about. You know?
Phase Lock is about a trillion times better than Phase Walk from the first game. It's not even in the same league. It is such a great ability. I love playing as the Siren in two.
I'll definitely have to check out that class, because I remember everyone always saying, like, I tried three of the classes and then I was like, all right, I guess I should try Siren now. And then everyone was like, it's probably the worst class. Don't bother. So, I mean, I feel like I ended up playing a couple of games, four players in the original Borderlands, and I had one friend who had every a different character for every class, and we're like, all right, we need a Siren because, you know, we have all the different classes covered. And he was like, whoever got the Siren basically was like, aw, come on, I don't want to be the Siren, but it's good to hear they improved that. Go ahead, sorry.
Now, question: have you guys been following Randy Pitchford on Twitter?
I follow.
No. Go I have no keys.
Have you been redeeming the shift keys?
I haven't, but I've been meaning to. I've just been lazy about it. I should.
I got one of them one time, like the biggest one that allowed you to just get one that he did. Like,
yeah.
I got that, so I felt okay when I finally, like, when I first got to there, like, because I got them before I got to Sanctuary. And I was like, I'll use one of them. And got guns that were completely irrelevant.
I've got about five keys so far.
Uh huh. I had one that I got from pre-ordering the game, and I mistakenly used it too early because everyone tells you to save those until like end game.
Yeah. Well, you get one for signing up for shift, don't you?
Yeah. I haven't done that yet. I've been lazy.
I opened the golden box once because I didn't know that that was the golden box.
Yeah.
So I'm just like box with green lights on it. Must loot.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very shiny box. I had to open it.
Yeah.
And
that's the one thing about the game. I think picking up loot should be a little more streamlined. I think it's all right with co-op as you, like, kind of split up those duties. But when you're just, like, Well, I guess I got to open all this stuff. Like, I guess I got to open all these little boxes and get the $1 out of it.
You can't resist. You can't resist to open those things. Sometimes I'm just like, I want to just walk past these and keep going. But nope, got to open them.
Get those. I just wish there was like a, all right, just hit down the stick to open and collect all nearby stuff.
Open and collect everything in this room.
Or at least collect. That, like, the holding down thing doesn't work very well.
Well, the thing is, the good thing is, like, if there's actual, like, if enemies drop money or ammo, you will most of the time pick it up just by walking over.
Yeah,
or driving over.
That's, I do like that.
That's nice, but sometimes that stuff gets stuck on the ground, so you will inevitably have a bunch of things that just don't get picked up when you just run over them for some reason.
Yeah.
So there's still some problems with that, but it's definitely improved over having to hold X to pick everything up off the ground.
And, like, really, really for, like, the dumb, simple stuff, it should really just auto-collect. Yeah. I know there's the whole, like, run for it and split it between people stuff, but like picking up like dollars is kind of that part. Well, like,
thing about playing co-op is when you pick up money, you both get it. Like everyone gets the money.
Yeah,
so you don't have to worry about that. But like
just everyone auto get the money. Like I know the game's about, oh look, I get to get this, get that. But there's enough with like the weapons
the ammo. So much ammo drops that everyone will pretty much fill up anyway.
Right,
and there's almost always a ammo vending machine when you need it, in case you need to spend the money to get some extra ammo right before.
Except for that one place where I'm stuck.
I don't think I'm.
Hey, can you respec in this game?
Yes,
you can.
That's amazing.
But I think
it costs money. I'm
costs
sure.
Money or yeah. I don't. I haven't tried it. Although it is cool that you can customize your character. That is kind of cool. So you don't have four of the same guys running around.
Yeah, there's also a shared. Storage.
Oh yeah,
so you can transfer items between characters.
Yeah, that claptrap thing that you do when you first get the sanctuary. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really nice when you find this crazy awesome sniper rifle and you're not on the assassin.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to you store it away. I think it holds up to 5 items or is it 10? I don't remember.
I'm not sure. You might be able to upgrade it.
I think it starts with 10.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah.
That's pretty handy too. Again, more incentive to try other classes. And since they're going to be releasing another class soon, I don't know when. Probably before the end of the year.
The Necromancer.
Yeah, the Necromancer. Yeah. So
most of the people that pre-ordered are probably getting it free.
Yeah, I think so. So I'll have some stuff stored in there. So when I actually that'll be the class I'm probably most interested in trying because it's brand new. So
yeah.
Curious to see how that is. I think the biggest improvement besides the AI and like the way they handle like gun variety and stuff like is how first Borderlands kind of felt lifeless. Like there was clearly sense of humor there and clearly it had its own style, but this game like Pandora feels really fleshed out. The humor doesn't always hit they don't always get the humor like right. It's usually consistent. Like some jokes just are like, ugh, come on. But
yeah,
it's the biggest. As someone who played PC on both, the biggest improvement is matchmaking.
Oh yeah.
Borderlands 1 on PC used GameSpy, which was horrible.
Oh dear.
And now it's just completely integrated into Steam, and you can drop out, and it's incredible.
That is awesome. I'm glad PC version has been so improved. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
GameSpy is the bane of anyone who ever tried to play any Civilization game online before Civilization 5.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a lot of good things. Is there any things that are annoying you about the game? I mean, anything not as good as the first one?
I do have problems. Like I said, I have problems with loot, but I think I have problems with games that involve a lot of loot in general. I'm actually going to write about this for my next New Game Plus. So. So something to look forward to.
Sneak preview.
Yay! So yeah, there's that. But I think my biggest problem is it definitely feel this. I think Borderlands 2 is unquestionably an improvement over the first in just about in almost every way. There are some things that are still problematic, but
they were problematic before. So
yeah.
Exactly. So it's good that if you've never played Borderlands before and you're jumping into Borderlands 2, you're gonna love it. Like you're gonna have a ton of fun. But for people who like myself who played a ton of Borderlands 1. I'm only like level 16 and I'm already starting to feel a little tired of it. Like a lot of the side quests kind of just flat out suck. They just aren't fun.
Yeah.
And I've actually heard the game is much longer than the first one, too.
Like the quests, like I was on one story quest just recently, and it lasted almost 2 hours. It was ridiculous. I mean,
wow.
It's good to have that because there are plenty of points where you can stop and save and quit because there are spawn points and stuff. But
the quest system isn't really a Borderlands problem, but general.
But
any game like that uses that quest system, and I think the only one that's actually changed it is Guild Wars 2 recently.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that too. But I mean, I think it's just the effect, the diminishing returns effect. It's like it's more Borderlands, and that's great. But at the same time, if the next game is just again more Borderlands and not a huge step up, then I think I'm gonna be like, I don't know, guys. I don't know if I really want to play a third Borderlands game. It's gonna be more of this, like with improvements, of course, but. Yeah. They need to step things up a bit. And I think that's the biggest problem I'm having with Borderlands 2 personally.
Don't say it's not Call of Duty enough.
Oh god.
Oh man.
We don't want to talk about that.
No.
Yeah, all right. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. All right. So next week we have some interesting content coming up on the site and
looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
Maybe some special event coverage.
Ooh, and, you don't say.
Yeah, and working on some stuff that we can't talk about yet, but we'll see. Considering what I could say. So keep checking the site. Thanks for listening and reading. For Henry, Jeff, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.